Okay, this is Sabrina Williams with Rolling with the Diva. Sorry, we're having a lot of technical problems, and I apologize to my guests who are on the line. So go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, it's Allison Clark.
I know, and so tell us, Allison, tell us your... about yourself. I know you're waiting, and I apologize. We have a blog talk this week. It's having some technical difficulties. So we're sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm a young adult fantasy author, and I came out with the second book of my series a while ago, back in the summer, called Racine, R-A-C-I-N-E, about the journey of a 19-year-old a black woman who goes on a visit to the Library of Congress, the largest library in the world in Washington, D.C. And from there, she goes on a magical odyssey to discover her mystical beginnings and meet some of her ancestors and so on. So I'm very proud of this book, and I'm getting a good response.
So tell us about your first book that you wrote real quick. Tell us so they know how, because you said this is the second book, Miss Allison, in the series. So what? Tell us the title of the first book, and then tell us just a little bit about it.
Okay, well, the first book is The Sisterhood. And in the first book, again, I focus on characters of color, because black characters, main characters, are lacking in the genre of fantasy. And I love Harry Potter and all that, but the characters of color are very minor. But I don't expect J.K. Rowling to come up with a job of creating black characters as main characters. I think that's our job as black people. So the first book, I really focus on having characters of color in the journey. And the first book, Opie or Opportune, is the daughter of a sorceress. And her best friend is Ori, who is a dragon. And they join forces with other people, forming an army of light to save the universe. And they meet all sorts of different characters, mystical beings, and so on. Selkies, sirens, mythological characters and beings, and they all form this army, joining forces to save the world from darkness. And that's book one.
Oh, okay. Now, who got you into writing?
I would say my teachers really supported me. My one teacher, Bonnie Knoll, and I reconnected with her. She came... I did a series of readings and book signings back in October, and she came to one of them. She was my grade 9 language arts teacher.
Okay.
And
nice.
She was instrumental in keeping me in school. In Alberta, Canada here, we experience a lot of racism as black people, so it's not just an American phenomenon. And her class saved me. Without her class, I think I would have dropped out, to be honest. With all the racism and so on in the school. Yeah, seriously. Her class was an oasis for me. We did a lot of creative writing assignments. And she always told me as comments at the end of each assignment that I had a gift for writing and that I should continue to take it seriously. And on and on over the years, her stuff I was published in, and high school papers and university papers, but eventually reconnected with her about a year ago and caught up. And we had a really good meeting just before she retired. She worked with the Victoria School for Performing Arts as a counselor, and I reconnected with her, and we're still in contact now, but now she's retired and going on a different journey, but she still comes out to my signings and supports me, and that's nice.
Awesome. So what do you, you were talking about that you, in Alberta, Canada, that there's a lot of racism. Is that still prevalent today as it was when you were in ninth grade, or has it gotten better, or has things changed?
No, I'd say it's about the same. I have cousins who are a lot younger than me that went through the school system, and they experience about the same. And there's a kind of a large age gap, and nothing much has changed, really, seriously. So, yeah, in Canada, we're dealing with a lot of racism. It's more subtle sometimes. They won't use the N-word, but they do in their behavior, they say and do things that are not very nice. And it's still a battle here. There are changes. People trying to approach things, make things better as a campaign. I can't rename the campaign, trying to make things awkward, people, you know, exhibiting racist behavior. There's a movement, different movements in Alberta and so on to try to change things and make things better, which is nice, but there's still a lot of stuff going on. And actually in Ottawa, there was a black special needs man, and he was in Ottawa, and he was basically beaten to death by police, and that was about a year ago. And it's just very disturbing, you know. He was, there's some misunderstanding. He might have said something to a couple, Caucasian couple in a restaurant, but nothing really disturbing. And the police tracked him down and beat him so badly, he was rushed to emergency and died in the hospital. And I think there's a big inquiry. Cops were charged. And that was about a year ago in Ottawa.
Yeah.
So to see things happen here, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree that some things are still the same, but I'm 53, and I've seen, you know, because obviously, you know, racism is across the world. It's not just, like, centered in the United States. But I've seen things change a lot. I've seen good come, and I think it's just the matter of people, you know, stepping up, and getting on boards, getting on councils. I mean, because sometimes it's just the fact that, you know what, you have to be that outspoken voice that nobody else is. So I know things are still, some things are still the same, but I think a lot of things have changed, and I think society as a whole is embracing more, and there may be subtle things coming out. Yes, as we change presidencies each time, but I think that things are, some things are getting better. But I have another question for you. Now, are any of your books in schools, or are you trying to work with schools to get your books in their libraries, or, and what's your next project coming up?
Well, I have gotten some of my books into libraries, some school libraries and some neighborhood libraries. So I have gotten that done. It's harder to get books into actual school programs, though, and I'm trying to work on that with people, but that's a harder challenge. But I have managed to get it into libraries. And since Racine Book 2 is a homage, a tribute to libraries, as a welcoming space, not just a place of knowledge, a place for community and all that, I really enjoy libraries. And as a child, and even now as an adult, libraries always been a safe space for me. And I think for a lot of people of color, it's been a safe space. And so I just got news the other day, very exciting. The book team will now be part of the collections at the Library of Congress, which is not an easy thing to do. So I'm happy.
Really awesome.
Yes, thank you, thank you. So book two as well as book one, they will both be in the collections at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. So that's a major victory. And I'm telling you that was hard to do because I'm with a British publisher, right? I'm not with an American publisher. I'm with a British publisher, and this publisher is small press. So for me to get that in there was quite the challenge.
Well, it was meant to be. Well, hold on. We're going to go to a song here, and it's by Brick City called Love, and we'll be right back.
This is a big kitty.
Yeah, pay homage.
Yeah. R.I.P. to Bobby Christina, Whitney Houston. I'ma do this in the love of them, but it's a love song though. Yeah. Yeah. Brick City, City. Oh. Milk the brick, yeah. Brick. Bobby Christina, I put on for my city in the name of Whitney, Whitney. Brick City, City.
Oh.
Milk the brick,
love.
Brick.
Yo,
Bobby
good
Christina,
love.
I put on for my city in the name
good
of Whitney,
love.
Whitney.
Car drove up,
I felt the energy like two magnets. The first time my eyes met his, I saw a joy that could last forever. Live it up in full blitz, spiritual equivalent. It was his appearance that caused an effect on me. I felt his heart.
Racine, and it's spelled R-A-C-I-N-E.
I like that. So you know what? I'm trying to have a lot more people who write books on, because we're getting away from where people actually, I prefer to read a book, go in the store and buy the book, like get it and then make my own corners. People have the, you know, the Nook and all of those, and it's more electronic reading. But I noticed that the generation today is just basically getting away from reading. And reading is so critical. It opens up your brain, gives you more thought process, but it's also, reading is just a way to enhance your knowledge of what's out there. Even if it's just a book, you know, on Racine, and, you know, obviously our author's here today. But you know what? Reading is critical. What do you think? Why do you think that so many people, especially the generations that are coming up, Allison, are getting away from reading?
I think it's how you're raised. If you're raised to, if you're read to as a child, you're more inclined to read books. I think what I'm seeing here in Alberta, there's still the love for actual trade paperbacks and hardcovers. People still love the written word on the page. So books, I don't think, will ever die. But I do believe it starts from when you were young. It starts from the womb, really. If your parents read to you, is that tradition of the love of literature and is imbued in you, then it will continue. But if your parents don't really imbue that in you, then that's more of a battle. So I think it starts really with the parents at the very beginning. I was read to as a child, nursery rhymes and all that. And actually reading saved me in a lot of ways because I was late starting to talk. I think I didn't start talking until like five or six or something. It was late. Yeah, my parents were concerned, and then I was tested and all that, and the doctor prescribed, you know, you should start reading to Allison. Start reading to Allison, and then she will eventually start to verbalize. And that's what happened. And some of my earliest memories with my mom, she would read nursery rhymes to me, and she would use different voices. And I remember laughing a lot because she was funny. And that's how it started. And soon after, I started talking. I started verbalizing. So even then, the word kind of saved me and helped me. So, yeah, it starts when you're young with the parents, I would say.
Now, Allison, so people can find you under your – are you listed under – is there a pen name or is it just Allison? Allison Clark.
Yeah, it's just Allison Clark for my so-called pen. I use my real name. I just feel better. I know there are a lot of fantasy authors like J.K., they initialize and all that, but that's not for me. I like using my full name for writing. That's just me.
That's nothing wrong with that. So people can find you. How do you spell it? A-L-L?
It's one L. It's a British way because I was born in England and raised here. So it's A-L-I-S-O-N, and Clark is spelled C-L-A-R-K-E.
Okay, and then where can people find you at on social media?
Okay, I'm on Twitter, and on Twitter I'm Mythologist200. And then Instagram, I'm Monet, like the painter, so MONETLOVER200, so Monet Lover 200. And then I also have a Facebook page under my full name. So I also have a Facebook fan page, and people can connect with me that way. So three ways with the social.
Now, Allison, we're going to talk a little bit, and Allison, stay on the line with me. We're going to talk just a little bit, and it's actually more of guidelines for people. Christmas is Monday. I don't even know where I was. I was given the DUIs, for the do-it-yourselfers for Christmas. DUIs, oh, my God. The do-it-yourselfers for Christmas last week, and I just really forgot that Christmas is Monday. So for the last DIY, do-it-yourself, is this. It's a simple thing, and it's easy to do for those last-minute gifts that you found out that people are bringing extra relatives. You go to the to Joann's or any of the nearest craft stores. You can get a felt blanket or felt material and get it about 3 feet by 3 feet, cut each side about not even a half an inch up. cut the whole thing around, so you're making like there's strips on it, but you're going to leave most of it intact, and then you're going to tie those together, and you have an instant blanket, wrap it with a rope, and then stick a gift card in there for $5 from Starbucks, and there's your DIY, your do-it-yourself for those last minute guests. And this is the one thing that we need to talk about. How do you de-stress during the holidays? Because we have many holidays going on right now. We have Kwanzaa. I love Kwanzaa because it's a lot of days of good food and presents, and I love matzo ball soup. Oh, my God, I love it, just without the meat because I don't do meat. And then we have Christmas. Merry Christmas, little Jesus. And then we have Kwanzaa. And so there's a lot of days of holidays. How do you deal with the stress of people or just when you get overwhelmed? Allison, what do you do when you're stressed out? What are things that you do to help yourself be calm?
I listen to music a lot, so I have a lot of music on my iPhone. I listen to Bob Marley because I was raised with reggae, being West Indian.
Okay.
And then he's my foundation. So whenever I'm kind of depressed or sad, I listen to him. And then I've branched out into all sorts of things. I listen to electronica, dance music. I still love Miss Janet. I love her. I saw her in concert. It was very exciting. She came to my city.
She's
20 years in the making.
She
was great. So I still listen to Miss Janet. I prefer Rhythm Nation. That's like classic. I have her new album. That's okay. But I prefer her older stuff. So music, reading, definitely reading. And going for long walks, just getting outside, getting fresh air. So those are three things.
But you do. Music, reading, and getting fresh air. And those are some of the things that I was going to suggest, and those are excellent ones. Music, because when you put your headphones on or earpiece in, and you just really, really start listening to the music, and if you start, and move your body. When I'm upset, there's this favorite song. It's a Christian song. It's called Soldier Move. And the song basically reminds me that God's there. Keep moving, keep stepping, because you know what? Everything is going to be okay. All the craziness that at this moment in the time is all going to go away. One of the other things I do is I actually go swimming or go in a jacuzzi. Water is a great way to just relax and get your mind, because when you go underwater, now let me preempt that. For those people that can't swim, don't be going in water and said, rolling with the diva said you can just go in water and relax. You might drown if you don't know how to swim, so let me preface that, okay? And check with your doctor before you do any exercise. But walking is great. It also builds the endorphins in your brain to actually start firing the way that they should be. Also, journaling is a great way. It's writing, but it's in a different way. Because mind you, not everybody should be a book author, but they can journal. So those are some ways. Also, another thing is actually this word. Hear this. No, 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 and no. Tell people no.
Yeah.
You're not obligated to everybody. What do you think about that, Allison?
Oh, I agree. I still struggle with that. And I'm involved with a lot of groups. And you know what? Lately, I've been saying just no. I'm exhausted.
No.
And I'm talking to fellow authors who are involved in different events. And we're exhausted. She got to say
okay,
no
so
first.
Okay, so here we go. Listen to that word.
Well-being.
See, what happens when you don't say no, you get exhausted because you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And so here's the thing about that. When you get so exhausted and you don't say no, you end up maybe hurting your own feelings because you may get sick, you're tired, you're overwhelmed. So learning to say no, everybody say it with me. Let me do it. No, no, and no. Say no and call it a day. And don't feel bad that you have to say no, because you know what? Saying no actually shows that you have boundaries, and we've talked about this many times, you guys. Boundaries are critical to your life and to everybody else's life. I want to give a shout-out to a couple of vegan restaurants that I love, Vegan Nation, Veggie Express. Oh, my God, I love you guys and your food. I am a vegan vegetarian, and I love the food there, and we just had three more restaurants in Vegas go to Total Vegan. I will be doing a lot more shows coming the first of the year on vegan, vegetarian eating, and why it's healthy for everybody. I'm not saying you got to get rid of your meat and that God didn't create meat, because he did. He created the animals for us, and if the animals were in charge, I'd probably be the first person they ate because I'm really big, and they would eat meat. So I get it, okay? Meat's not – I'm not saying that. But for me, I just don't eat meat, and it's more of a medical reason because the meat really does hurt my stomach, and that's probably because of some of the antibiotics that they use in the United States. Because I know in other countries, our meats are not processed like that. So, but that's just for me. But one other thing, and this is a really serious thing. If you're feeling suicidal and you're stressed, know you're loved. But I'm going to need you to call 911 or get to the nearest hospital. The holidays can be very stressful on people. It can cause you to think down, to get way depressed where you can't pull yourself up and you think you want to take your life. That's not where we want you to go. You can call 211 in your area. If you feel you're depressed or you might be suicidal but you feel you can make it, call 211. But if you have any kind of suicidal, you need to get onto 911 and immediately and get to the nearest hospital and let somebody know. Because the one thing about people, sometimes they don't think people care. And a lot of times in my younger years when I was in 26, I was very suicidal. And I'm admitting that. And you know what? The one time that I went to somebody and told them that what was going on, that person stopped everything they're doing to care about me. People care. They don't want you to pass away because you know what? You're somebody's mother, brother, sister, father, or co-worker, and you are loved. Or you're a book author to somebody. You're loved. So you know what? Remember, your life is important. I love you guys. Thank you, Miss Allison, for coming on. I hope you'll come back on in February because I love February for fantasy authors because it's just about, you know, love and fantasy. So those two to me just go hand in hand. I hope you will come back on. And if you have issues, if you have concerns, like Miss Allison, of a topic that you want to talk about in Alberta, Canada, you shoot me an email because I love your radio voice, and I'd love to have you be a co-host one day to talk about that. What do you think?
I would love that.
So give me, you think of a topic, young lady, and you're going to hit me back up with it, and we're going to make a show because your radio voice is amazing, and you are you blessed me today. It was a really weird day for me, people, and I'll admit I was a little overwhelmed at first because the music wouldn't start and the videos, the sound was acting up. We couldn't do Monday, and I really had to say I was overwhelmed, and I was like, oh, my goodness, God, but it all worked out. So I thank everybody for listening. We're gonna go out with another song. Thank you, Allison, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays. All the best to you and your loved ones for 2018.
Thank you, dear, and Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa to everybody. I really appreciate people taking the time to listen to Rolling with the Diva. We may be changing the times for Wednesdays. But I will keep everybody informed of that. But we are on Mondays. Now our time's going to be Mondays at 8 p.m. And on Wednesdays, it will probably be earlier or later, but we will keep y'all posted. Y'all have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa. And you know what? Happy to you. Be happy. Live joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. When you put Jesus first, others, and then you, life goes good. And you know what? What if you don't believe in Jesus? Great. Then you know what? Then you can just still believe in others and yourself first. All right, here we go out with some music. Have a good day, y'all. Well, we may be going out with some music. We'll see if the thing wants to play for me. Let's see. Oh, that's acting up. But on that other note, next week's show, we are going to be hopefully filming live from Las Vegas somewhere. I'm talking to get this thing to work for me. So I may have to just, come out of it. But y'all have a good day. I'm going to end the episode.